When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, hot diggity damn, it is October 18th, SmackDown After Show here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast and platform. My name is Lobo Boys, and well, it is a crazy day for sports. We're going to break down all that stuff with SmackDown and everything else because I'm also watching the WNBA playoffs. But as always, I'm not alone. I'm being joined by someone who is just killing it in the game when it comes to sports broadcasting and presenting. And also, she was nominated for Emmy once. Give it up for the Emily May.
Happy to be back. Happy Friday night, Flobo.
Yeah, you know, I'm feeling, how you feel? Are you good?
I am good. I mean, it's, you know, it is, we did talk a little sports outside of wrestling. We're battling it out. Mets versus Dodgers today. The Dodgers really disappointed me today, but it's okay. We still got more time.
Whoa. Mets got lucky. You don't get lucky with so many hits. I'm going to tell you one thing. This was a great series, and if it ended tonight, I wouldn't be upset. But as soon as that son of a gun, Paez, is pimping home runs down 8-1, I'm like, nope, not in my house. You can get the heck on with that bull crap.
Dang. Well, let me tell you, you were uttered. I yelled your name like a curse word when we were watching the game tonight because I was like, I am breaking and the frustration and anger to Flobo tonight.
Well, I am so sorry. Oh, actually, I'm not sorry at all. I can't wait. The Mets are going back to Los Angeles, which I don't want to go because I really hate Dodger Stadium. We'll get to that in a second. But I was going to say, this SmackDown episode, I'm enjoying that 5-9 whiskey. I got some in my cup today. We're going to have a good time because after a long, hard week, I have to kick back with some of that 5-9 whiskey. Yes, Dodger Stadium, can't stand it, Emily. I can't do it.
Why? Dodger Stadium is one of the oldest
stadiums.
Yes. It is gorgeous. They are doing a lot of updates right now. It is quintessential LA.
Yeah, that's a problem. It's a pain in the ass to get. It's a pain in the ass to get into. It's a pain in the ass to get out of. It's literally the highest beer prices in all of Major League Baseball, and it's surrounded by an asphalt parking lot. You can't do anything before or after it, and if you don't have a car, be prepared to walk up and down the hill like Grandpa's old stories. I can't stand it. And it's 20 degrees hotter than the sun.
You need to get more exercise, Flobo, and go on a little walk.
It's not about me,
Emily.
All
the stores you can go into, you can hang out in the parking lot. Tailgate. I don't understand what the issue was.
Look, I don't even hate the team. I like the Dodgers team. The Dodgers team is great. But I'm saying is cathedrals in Major League Baseball are threefold. Wrigley, Fenway, or Camden Yards. That is it. Dodger Stadium is totally an old facility that's sun bleached. It's 10 degrees hotter. The sight lines aren't great.
It's just not this open. Sight lines aren't great? Are you kidding me?
They aren't great. They're way too open. You have no vantage point.
There's no bad seat in Dodger Stadium, even when you're in the freaking nosebleed section.
Now, to be fair, Killer Demon says it's harder to get out of City Field. I agree also. I think City Field may be good in the park, but once you leave, it is kind of a sketchy neighborhood. See, I'm willing to admit the truth when things aren't good. I'm just putting it out there. I love the team, though.
You don't understand all the tricks of the trade to go to Dodger Stadium. Like, I have all of the inside baseball of how to get there, how to park, getting your deals. So
it's a long walk either way. If you park for free, it's a long walk. If you pay to park, you gotta pay. It is just rough.
I'm gonna die on this hill, Flobo. So
yeah, the hill at Chavez Ravine, because the stadium is uphill, getting 10 degrees hotter from the sun. Here's the problem I have.
You need more exercise, Flobo. Walk up the hill.
Here's the problem I have, because I like baseball, but I want more people to go with me. So I bring all my casual fans, and once they see it's like 20 degrees hot in July, and they can't walk around, things are so expensive, it's hard to bring them coming back. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, Flobo, you and I have not been to a baseball game together, so we need to change that. And I think I'll change your mind.
Fair enough. Yankee Stadium, it's a fine museum, not that good of a ballpark. That is, I think, one of the worst modern stadiums for sight lines, really, because you get stuck behind pillars. You can get stuck behind the terrace, which is not
that. I do have to say, I went to the Toronto Blue Jays Stadium, and that was amazing, as well as the Cleveland Guardians this year. They have a really great stadium. So
I've been to 24. Throwing it out there. I haven't been to those two, though. I have six left on my list. I haven't been to Cleveland or Toronto.
We'll compare lists.
Yeah, exactly. And Killer Demon says, getting home from the 7 train from Citi Field is a nightmare. Agreed. My family lives in Brooklyn. I get it. It's not great. And it's worse because I live in Brooklyn, which means I have to take a train to 42nd Street in Manhattan and then go to Queens. Yeah. It sucks.
Well, you get ready for SummerSlam because that's going to be crazy.
Oh, yeah, that's in MetLife, which I would not recommend. Okay, so this is a wrestling show. I do hope this goes 7 games. It's good. It's better for baseball, even though I know that you and I have different team alliances. I think this is kind of two great stories in the postseason, but that's all right. Go Dodgers! Ricky, stop! Ricky!
You know what? Dodgers! Love you, Ricky!
Hey! We're not the bad guys here, all right?
Hey, it's a win. Like, either way it goes, it's a win for baseball, right? We all love baseball. We're enjoying it together, even when we're, mad at each other. But it's all in the fun of the game.
Yeah, Yankees suck.
All right, we lose, and I cry.
Yeah, exactly. Until next season. Well, so before we get to the SmackDown After Show, a lot of news and notes are coming down from the front desk. Thanks for the people over there at Wrestling Inc. giving us those news and updates. And let me ask you a question, because we have so many today. Does anyone that tickles your fancy first, or you should go right from the top?
Let's just go to the top. Let's go down our list.
All right. We got some backstage updates of the Beast, Brock Lesnar. Remember him? Haven't seen him in a while because, well, he has been on TV for various reasons. This comes straight from Wrestling Inc. by way of Dave Meltzer, says there are no creative plans for Mr. Lesnar. Additionally, a source in creative relayed that it would be quite surprising if Lesnar was brought back in the midst of a federal investigation. As you know, former chairman of the board, Vince McMahon, is currently under investigation for sexual misconduct, which Brock Lesnar was implicated in those crimes as well. Allegedly. So, as it stands right now, Brock Lesnar is not in the creative plans for WWE, but the question I still have to ask you, if Brock Lesnar was available, would you put him in the game?
I mean, I think so. I mean, the thing is, like, there's so much happening right now on every brand, on every show. I always go back to whether it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Don't just throw him in like a couple weeks or a month before a big premium live event. Obviously, we have some coming up, which usually he's like very active in. We have Crown Jewel coming up, but so there's other ones that he's previously been a part of, and obviously we're seeing him have a step back, so it has to make sense. But obviously there's some other things going on.
I gotta say that this is they're not paying me to say this, but I suffer from migraines, and these are migraine glasses from TheraSpecs. Again, they're not paying me to say this. It's not advertising. I wear them. I think they're pretty cool. It makes you look like I'm a futuristic superhero. And
you kind of look like Kike Hernandez with his cool new glasses.
Kike, I love his little walk-up song. I hate the fact he's somehow the man in the postseason, but
and I have the same birthday. So,
really?
Yeah.
My baseball birthday twin is Carlos Delgado, former Met, but that's just me. Elsewhere, CM Punk. This is another someone that, kind of put himself back in the WWE fold, but he lands a prominent role in an indie horror film starring Justin Long. For those of us of a certain age, you may know Justin Long from Die Hard 4 or those Mac vs. PC commercials from back in the day. But according to The Hollywood Reporter, Punk will star in an upcoming role in the horror feature titled Night Patrol, starring alongside the likes of Justin Long, Dermot Mulroney, and Jermaine Fowler, as well as musicians Flying Lotus, YG, and Freddie Gibbs. I know half of those. The movie, which is eyeing a release in 2025, will reportedly focus on Fowler's character, an LAPD officer who discovers a horrific secret being hidden by the local police force. Ooh. CM Punk, acting chops. Okay.
Yeah, I'm for it. Like, I love all of these WWE stars branching out, getting their big movie deals. We've seen, Drew McIntyre, we've seen, Becky Lynch went off and did some stuff. I'm ready for it. Let them all take over Hollywood.
Really? You're not worried about like wrestlers being seen as like not good actors or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I think, you know, you can make an action film and do, you know, I think the cop role is kind of great for CM Punk. That, like, detective cop series style of work would be really great for him. I think you can't judge until you see it, you know? Mm. So. Yeah.
Fair enough. Shout out to Killer Demons. I'm actually from Flatlands myself. My brother went to Chippewa Bay High School before it got defunct. But yeah, I actually like some of the wrestling movies. I think they're kind of like their own little subgenre, like the Marine.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
Six is where they stopped at. I think it's not that six.
And, what's Mick Foley did all like the Santa movies, oh, right?
Yeah. You know what? I don't even know, but that totally seems on brand for him.
Did he play Santa?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he should be Santa. He's the kind of guy that plays Christmas music in July, you know what I mean? Like, that's what's up. But CM Punk definitely looks like somebody can totally be, not necessarily the guy being the demon, but the guy being like, what's going on in that house?
What's going on? What's behind the door? Right, like, I can see him on Law & Order.
Danny Cochran, I'm anti-punk in every form of media. Wow. You mean CM Punk or like the Ramones, man? Why you a hater? That's crazy. I didn't know the hate was real. You're like Jack Farmer. He's the biggest CM Punk hater that I know. Shout out to Jack Farmer. He knows I say this to his face. Elsewhere, ex-WWE star and Hall of Famer, Rob Van Dam and his wife, Katie Forbes, launch Only Wrestlers, the subscription service, taking on the queue of such things as Fangraphs or OnlyFans. Only Wrestlers will be a destination for fans to interact directly with wrestling talent, of course, with the subscription model, because nothing is just paid once these days. It's always monthly charges. Now, Emily May, now, the surface, I go, of course there is, but to be fair, you are also a creator that also uses some fan support. So talk to me about this, the idea of getting that fan support and launching your separate platform. Is it good? Is it bad? Would you tweak it?
Yeah, I mean, it's so I have mixed feelings, right? Like as a content creator, as someone that's always putting out content, you always have to find more platforms, right? More the merrier, I think. Like more fans you get to interact with, either different fans, you know, new ones. So I think it's always great to innovate and create new platforms to do this. And the wrestling community is very unique. So having a specific place where wrestling fans specifically, because you have platforms that like talk about all sports, right? Basketball, right. Baseball, you have your Discords and your Reddit threads and all that. You can go and do that, but like, where can you exclusively share just that, or even put exclusive stuff you don't necessarily want on the full public platform? So I have mixed feelings of like, how do you regulate it? You know, like how do you moderate and make sure that it's like safe content? So mm-hmm. I'm always concerned about that. And productive, safe content. Productive conversations and not, right. You know, but again, it's one of those things you gotta kind of have to see what it,
I have what two it questions. Goes into. Because I'm not popular enough like yourself to have fans, right?
Oh my but God. Flobo, I'm your number two fan.
Oh, thanks. See, heard that, mom? She's working her way up. No. But, okay, so I have two questions. One, is wrestling fandom, like the fans are interesting. We're crossing over, there's more of us, but in the grand scheme of things, is it too niche? Like if I was a wrestler, wouldn't it behoove me to be on a normal platform to get cross-section of things? And two, is there an obligation then after a while to do risque stuff?
I mean, that's the question. I mean, the thing is, based off of who's launching it, a lot of people are saying that it, or assuming that it's going to be very explicit content. And I think that's like a valid concern of like,
I mean, Katie Forbes, I mean,
exactly. That's why I said the two people launching it. We all know what they're known for, right? I don't think that's a secret. So it's just whether the people signing up are going to at least eventually do that, if that's what they're signing up for. So again, it's everything. So like anytime you sign up for a new platform, think about who you're marketing, what you're comfortable doing. Like it's all part of your brand, and whether you're comfortable as an individual brand doing that, that's solely up to you. But I'm interested to see who signs up, what will be available, and the tiered system, like, eventually you're going to have so many platforms you're paying for, like all the streaming services, all the wrestlers you're giving $5, $10 to their Patreons, to all their stuff. Like eventually it's going to be like hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month,
right,
for individual people. So it's like, how much can you give?
Chat, I know times are hard, but if you let us know in the comments below who is someone you would pay a monthly service to be get exclusive content, let me know. Like, I want to know if this is a bigger thing or less thing. And you can also pick Emily May. She's definitely an option.
I have a few. I have a few subscribers.
Wow. All right. Well, what do you give them? Wait, that sounds bad. What do you like? What is on your platform? I mean, what is?
You do like behind the scenes stuff, yeah. Like exclusive interviews, just like things that I don't normally post.
Sure. Like, no. I struggle with that. I had a Patreon during the pandemic.
I think a lot of us did, yeah.
Yeah, but it was kind of like, I don't know what people care about me or whatever, but it's fine. Yeah. And lastly, here's kind of a story in the fun department. Joe Hendry, you know, that guy, the most viral sensation of 2024, has came out and said this. He's actually going to submit a remix of his theme song, I Believe in Joe Hendry, for the Eurovision competition. For us Americans, we tried that once. It was called the Great American Song Contest. It flopped, but Eurovision is a big friggin' deal. Joe Hendry submitting it for Scotland. Imagine that. What say you, Emily May?
This is amazing. This is Joe Hendry has broken down doors at Domino's, has broken down doors at almost every wrestling organization out there. This is so awesome for him. I can't wait to hear the remix. And I know there's like rules on like rewriting and things like that. So I'm ready to see it. I think the wrestling fans are going to pull out all the stops to make sure that he is in the final, like, part of the Eurovision.
Eurovision is really, really cool. But sometimes, if you guys ever follow the competition, you can get really dicey what's considered a country. Like, yeah. San Marino gets an entry and Italy. You're like, wait a minute.
You're like, wait a second.
If you're surrounded by, okay, I'm just being.
Yeah.
They have their own soccer team.
I would honestly, if I could, I would totally submit a song to Eurovision.
Really? Representing, what would you represent? What country?
I mean, I don't know.
You gotta pick a country in Europe. You could be like, my grandma is from
Italy. Technically, I could do Italy.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, sure. Jose Topete says, I don't dance on these shows at all. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, you dance.
Yeah, I only do the Mercedes. I don't move, I just do my hands. Does that count as a dance? I don't know. Yeah. All right. We all know a great worker when we see one. And that's what the guys at 5-9 Whiskey are. Like a performer who leaves it all in the ring, the crew at Troll Co. have made a bourbon that's all about grit and sweat. You see, two oil field guys figured, why not turn our daily grind into something you can sip on? And who wouldn't want a splash of hard work in their whiskey? 5-9 is made with 100% Kentucky corn, bringing you those crisp, fresh flavors with a smooth finish. They even took the trip to Owensboro, home of the 10th oldest distillery in Kentucky. They put in the work. The name 5-9 is a nod to those who clock in from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m., not the 9 to 5 life. These are the real champions who put in the sweat, tears, and more. Real life road warriors. They work hard, and now they're pouring that same energy into the whiskey. So why not grab a bottle? Help these guys out. They're literally drinking their profits. Cheers. Head to 59whiskey.com. That's FIVENINEWhiskey.com. And use promo code WRESTLING20, that's 20, for 20% off your first order. Tools down, bottoms up.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, before we get into today's episode of SmackDown, give me the overall thoughts of this one. A lot of drama, a lot of matches. Emily May, talk to me.
Oh my gosh, this was. Wait, are we doing dances?
No. His vibes. No dancing.
Vibes. I got you to dance a little bit.
No.
This counts as dancing.
It does not.
No, this was a fun episode. So like I came off of like Raw on Monday, which was jam packed with stuff because they're fitting things into 2 hours.
Right.
But this was like a wild ride tonight.
Are you a fan of 2 hour Raw? Just curious.
I do like it actually. It's like it's very concise, but I feel like they have been fitting a lot in.
Fair enough. Well, let's get into this one. This show opens from Columbia, South Carolina, home of the Gamecocks. And we saw the Crown Jewel Championships will be used later on the show. But the main, well, before we get to the first segment, Michael Cole was not on commentary this week, missing his third show in almost 25 years.
Is he okay? Do we know if he's okay?
We don't know. He's been told to be on assignment, but that's what I say when Jack doesn't want to come to work. So I don't really know what I would say. I hope he's okay.
Right. Did Kevin Owens beat him up after a show and we just don't know?
Plausible. Just get up mad.
That's my theory, is that Kevin Owens is going after everyone.
Yeah, you did a good job, Emily. What does she do?
What did I do a good job?
On Monday, probably Monday. I have no idea. It's kind of like, the show just started, man.
I did a good job. I appreciate that, Alicia. Sometimes you need some self-assurance that you did a good job, Flobo. Flobo, you did a good job.
Oh, thank you so much. Let's go Mets. All right, so the show opens with your boy, Solo Sikoa, being like, yo, why won't anybody acknowledge me? But Jey Uso comes out. And we had a little bit of a stare down. Brother versus brother. Unite the family versus divide the family. He will talk about cinema, but Jey Uso's reintroduction to the Bloodline arc has been done pretty uniquely. Thoughts about the opening segment?
I mean, this set up the whole like tone of the episode. So like it was setting the tone. We had the inklings on Monday of Jimmy and Jay confronting each other, not wanting to talk, not really convincing each other to like connect. So this was like, oh, this is spilling over into SmackDown too. So this was super important to set it up like this.
What about the casual, like, we don't trust them? I was like, wait a minute. What's wrong with Tongas?
I mean, they just show up and like join the Bloodline and are like, oh yeah, now we're part of the cool group. I mean, I wouldn't trust anyone that just is like, hey, I'm going to hang out with you for a bit.
Yeah.
I
feel sorry for Solo Sikoa, man. I mean, he's a tribal chief. Everyone's struggling to acknowledge him. Like, I don't understand what the big deal is. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, did you just say he's the tribal chief?
Yeah, he is. You see, he has Ulafala. He has his finger up in the air.
No, he's the self-proclaimed, self-assigned tribal
chief. Okay. So
he is not the true tribal chief.
Who is then? Because the Ulafala says the tribal chief gets to wear those.
No, he took the Ulafala.
Right? That means he took the crown, means the tribal chief.
The people have to assign the true tribal chief.
Who?
You know who!
Shout out to the New Day. I'm just saying, I feel sorry for him. The crowd is booing him. He's letting them know what his job is.
He's going to be all heated up.
Yeah. It's like how the internet wrestling community is booing Undertaker today. If you know, you know. Well, yeah. One of the cool things about Jey Uso is that he's back on SmackDown. It really was a bit of a hitter. We're jumping around here a bit. Bit of a hit or miss reconciliation. Roman kind of knows he needs help, but he's like, I'm going to do it on my own. But yeet versus no yeet. Jay is like, I don't want to be part of this. Jim is like, we should be together. I don't know, man. It's like Bloodline family values.
I know. And that moment where Jay, this is what I mentioned, is that it's earned and not taken. Right. So in this whole, like, you know, there's always a place in the Bloodline, but like, is it the right section of the Bloodline? You know, like, because this Bloodline goes far and deep and wide across the world. So which side?
So let's get to our main event. Like, let's like skip over to SmackDown quite a bit. And so there was this whole thing about Roman's going to acknowledge Solo, which is, to me, ripped right out of the Attitude Era. Tonight, I'm going to acknowledge Solo. So we're watching this. He goes, I acknowledge you. And then he reneges it because Roman Reigns is such a terrible person. Couldn't even go through with it. And he gets beat down for his efforts, as he should. And so Roman ends today getting beat down by the true tribal chief. If I'm Roman Reigns, I should just give up, right?
No, you don't give up when you have the right and you have been the main tribal chief. You don't give up, Flobo.
I don't know. I mean, the Ulafala guy beat you up. That means you shouldn't try again.
But it was like 5-1.
Oh, and where was Jey Uso?
Well, Jey Uso probably got stuck at catering or something.
Not acknowledging the tribal
chief. You know that catering's good. You got to acknowledge it.
It actually, you know, people make catering jokes, but I had the pleasure of seeing WWE catering because everyone's in the peak physical condition. They give you options, bro. They really do.
That's legit. Like that chicken, like I've had it in boxes.
Yeah. No, that's how you do it. You're like, I'm here to be a production assistant. Ricochet, huge cereal guy. I don't know if you guys know that, but so as SmackDown ended today, we saw Roman also kind of realizing that Jey is in the lamb. Now, for the I know the time being, if you're skipping ahead, you know Jey's gonna come around, hopefully.
Jey's gonna hopefully come around.
Yeah. But if you're Roman, who else is on the table to draft to take on this new bloodline, do you think?
I mean, you have to have The Rock.
Is he? The Rock was the final boss. He came out kind of heelish and bad blood.
I know
blood.
He did come out heelish, but I don't know. I mean, maybe The Rock needs to make that decision too. But Jey needs to make his final decision of what they're going to do. Maybe it's going to be, maybe it's Jey is with The Rock, by maybe they're together, and then it's Solo and his crew, and then Roman's just by himself. Maybe there's like a three-way bloodline feud.
Right. I mean, I like it. But I think if people just acknowledge Solo, then it would be easier. I mean, I'm just
But like, he's not, he is, like, no one is behind him.
I am.
Yeah, okay, one. But, like, you heard the crowd. They're booing him. Like, this is not good for the sustainability of the bloodline. Fine. You need a leader you like.
I want to see how it unfolds because it really, I know we want Bloodline versus New Bloodline or Bloodline versus Bloodline 2.0.
Yeah.
We know we've got the Usos coming back in the mix, but you got to show me who the army is going to be. The poster has four guys on one side and 2.5 on the other.
I think there's going to be, that is my, the Royal Rumbles in January.
Right. But who's on the table? Who are free agents? Sami Zayn? Please don't say Sami Zayn.
No, he's
Naomi? Nia Jax?
Remember we talked about the female bloodline potentially being integrated. Nia mentioned it in an interview. Maybe there's some female bloodline members.
I don't know. Chat, let me know who else is also in the roster because I like the idea of having female bloodline members, but I just see like who's gonna match up against Jacob Fatu, right? Like I can't see who that would be. Bronson Reed, that's a different tribe altogether. Okay, we gotta move on to the first.
Sorry, there was so much to unpack there. I knew that it would get me heated. So
yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. So they got the Jack Farmer marks in the chat. Cured. Tazawa is ready. Yeah. Okay.
Tazawa. Now you gotta do the dance.
There is no dance.
Dance.
Anyway, our first.
I don't dance. Yeah, I like the pants.
That voice is so accurate. I like the mats. I hope we win. That's welcome to my Tinder date. Okay, so two triple threat tag team matches were on the docket tonight. The first one, kind of the old guard. Street Profits DIY and Pretty Deadly, which is kind of interesting because we haven't really seen Pretty Deadly in a match in like close to 2 months. But they got involved in the decision both ways. Street Profits and DIY got pins on the guys making the musical. Referee's discretion, Jessica Carr says DIY gets the dub. Question: are the Street Profits justified in not being named the winners of this one?
Okay, so this, I mean, if you go back and watch it, like, they seem to be pinned at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's a ref's discretion. So, I think there's definitely going to be some animosity between Street Profits and DIY. Because this is really kind of not, and maybe there's some things with the ref. This is kind of the first time I really saw something like this happen recently in kind of these triple threat tag matches that this is, you got to make smart decisions as a ref and strategic decisions with the moment. And so I don't know if Jessica didn't see it. I this is going to cause some animosity definitely between the tag team.
Hey, you know, you and I are purveyors of kayfabe, but when DIY won the match, did you pop?
Not really.
Womp, womp.
I was rooting for the Street Profits, but so that's why I was like really kind of frustrated with that decision at the end.
So this actually this actually pays dividends later because we have another triple tag team match. But that's a question I've had on the show for months, and I don't want to pile on the DIY, but they have come back. They have had a run with the new SmackDown Tag Team Championships. It's over. They're clawing their way back at the division. It looks like they are not going to break up, but it seemed Columbia, South Carolina, a city I assume will be pro doing things by yourself, did not give not one or two craps about Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. Is that a problem for SmackDown? Should they worry?
I mean, I think I think they're obviously pushing them to you know, continue in the tag team division. So I don't think they have anything to worry about right now, but I think they need to worry about the tag teams that are angry and frustrated with them because they need to watch their back as they move forward in the, you know,
yeah.
What are they calling this? A tournament?
Just two triple threats and the winners.
Threats in the winter, yeah.
Well, I'm Flobo. I like the Mets. let's, you know what? Let's
go. I like wrestling.
I like wrestling. I swear to you, I'm a journalist. Let's get to the other bracket.
You're a professional.
Yeah, I'm a professional. Not even close.
I sound like a Muppet.
Dude, a Muppet version of me would do numbers.
They're gonna love this audio version.
Yeah, if their ears aren't bleeding, they're clearly going to love it. Let's talk about the other side of the bracket now we're on the subject. The other triple threat tag team matchups. Well, if Glenn Rubenstein was here, he'll call them Los Lobos Locos. But Los Garza now, the former, I guess, tag team of Legado del Fantasma, Humberto and Angel Garza, 8-town down under, another perennial favorite, and the SmackDown / main roster debut of the Motor City Machine Guns. They get the win here. But the question I have for you is this. With, and Corey Graves says this on commentary, so many tag teams have previously ripped off that Motor City Machine Gun DNA for tag team offense. Does the original team have a place on WWE programming?
100 million percent, yes, they have a place on SmackDown. You heard it on commentary. Everyone knows that they are legendary in the tag team world across the wrestling industry. They have set the standard above and beyond, and they obviously showed it tonight that they deserve championship gold already in WWE. So they're gonna just rise to the top. And you already saw it.
The reason why I asked this is because as a kid, I made the mistake of playing Grand Theft Auto Vice City before watching Scarface. And so when I saw Scarface and I was like, oh, I played that level. Ho hum. And maybe it didn't really hit the way I thought. So there was talk about having MCMG in NXT to reacclimate themselves. Main roster was their first destination. Did WWE get this right?
I think they did, because when you have to set the stage where I was thinking about this leading up to their debut, is like they had those little video, like the vignettes kind of teasing their debut. And you have to put them against some of those top tag teams. Right. And I like how they set it up. They're not putting them face to face against one team. They got to really fight it out two other teams. And it doesn't mean it ends there. We obviously see the matchup they're going to have next week. And then it will continue. So I think it's very smart of them. They have the experience. They have the experience in New Japan and TNA. They know what to do. So I don't think NXT would have been the right spot for them. I think they did the perfect integration into this episode, into SmackDown. I think it's a kind of a perfect place for them to start.
Well,
and it doesn't mean they can't cross over to other
true.
Other brands. I think this was a good placement for them as they're kind of determining this tournament.
It's not really clear whether or not the draft is going to be like a yearly thing or whatever. But okay, so as right now, the Motor City Machine Guns have punched their tickets to a match against DIY for a chance for the tag team championships. Going to put your feet to the fire there, Emily May. Who do you got then?
I'm going to say Motor City. I'm telling you, they're going to skyrocket. I'm telling you, they are on. You see the rockets? They got the rockets, and they're.
Yeah,
they're going
really, but DIY. We were talking about how they really got to get something going, and they really are kind of middling. You think they could take another loss?
They might take another loss.
Dang, you a hater?
I'm not hating, just facts.
No, if you love it, you're a hater. So is it Calvin Houston or Calvin Houston? I ask this because as a New Yorker, we say Houston, but the city of Houston's cool too. Says, are A-Town Down Under ever going to break up? Why do you think they are still together? Emily May, answer the man.
Oh, I love A-Town Down Under.
Hi, Flobo. This is my astrology impression.
Say it like that, Flobo. I think they're stronger right now as a tag team. I don't think they can have a singles run, you know, separately right now. So I think that's why they're still together right now.
Why do you think that is? If this is the best wrestling roster on the planet, why do you think they need to be together?
Flobo with a tough question.
They're not tough at all. Just be like, I like them, and that'd be it.
I mean, I like them together. Like, they're
all right, moving on.
It's that comedic tag team. You need it. So
yeah, for real. You need someone to sip on banana peels and like take pins.
You know, they have their little show and all that. It works.
And speaking of sipping on banana peels, let's take it over to the women's division. Piper Niven with her best friend, Chelsea Green. Had a match against Lash Legend of Meta 4. I say that because last week they were branded the Meta Girls. I guess they got thrown out already. Lash Legend, someone who has been knocking around the NXT for about 4 years, gets the win over the very game Piper Niven. In fact, I think Piper outweighs her by like 25 pounds. Having her over the shoulder shows her raw strength. Question for you, Emily May, because you're a women's wrestling expert. Is now the time to invest in Lash Legend, and should we be worried about Piper Niven?
I mean, this was an incredible showing of Lash Legend's strength. Like, she tried the first time she picked up Piper Niven, she didn't quite get it. She struggled a bit. But then the second time she got it. And this is just, I had this inkling when this match was set. I was like, I think this is Lash Legend. Like, it's her big singles match, not doing the tag team action tonight, like previously seen. But she took out Piper Niven, and this was a huge win. And what I liked is that this showed, it showed kind of the Bianca and Jade, like, hey, I have something to look, like, be careful of.
So, yeah, what do you make of that? Because the women's tag team titles are the only tag team championships that can go to all three brands. Last Legends move up to SmackDown. They get a win over Chelsea Green of Piper Niven. Is this a match you want to see sooner or later for some build? What say you?
I mean, we already kind of saw this on NXT, this building and Raw, kind of this fallout of, like, that these tag teams, Bianca and Jade, can go anywhere, right? Can defend it, can challenge. And I think that's going to make a stronger women's tag team division. And I think Lash Legend is ready. I think this was an amazing, amazing moment for her. But it shows she could do tag team work and be a contender for singles competition.
Yeah.
And I think that's powerful to see that. So, yeah, I think it showed, like, Jade and Bianca were impressed, but I think slightly concerned. And I think it's going to make them stronger as a tag team when they have to continue to fight against these up-and-comers.
Well, for me personally, actually, before I say that, thoughts about the new NXT presentation, the silver and black, the new titles. Are you a fan? Not a fan? Is it fresh?
I like it. I mean, I think it's super sleek. It's going back to basics. Sure. And I like how they're bringing some of the main roster talent in to kind of challenge some of the talent that's from NXT that's ready to not maybe go to Raw and SmackDown, but at least face them in an NXT ring. So it's giving them a little taste of that.
So back to Last Legend. I just wanted to take on that. I like Last Legends having a chance in the sun. I'm not sure what's going on with Meta 4, whether they're going to keep them together or break them up. I'm not sure if Noam Dar is going to be clear to compete. Of all the women that get compared to Bianca, I really believe Lash of 4 years ago was the most like Bianca. She was very much like, you don't go here, whatever. Skirt. Very much what she was doing the lashing out era. We don't really know where Last Lesson's character is, but she's a powerhouse in the brand that really needs it. You got Raquel Rodriguez on Monday. I think SmackDown will get a powerhouse, especially because Jade Cargill is in the tag team division. But the question I have then for you is that it looks like Bianca and Jade is on a collision course with Lash. Will she be doing herself a disservice being that tag team with Shakara Jackson, or would you break them up now to have them build up their solo careers?
I mean, I think that's what they're testing right now. They're trying to see, like, okay, are they stronger as a tag team? Do they do some single, just like we saw Bianca and Jade do some of that as well, where they're like, they work as a tag team or they're separate. I think right now they're trying to figure that out. And Lash Legend, her character work has kind of shifted
So it's more about her strength and power in the ring than it necessarily is about character right now. And I think that's what we're noticing, especially tonight. We saw her just focus, like zoning in on getting that win. And I think that's what's happening right now. And so I'm kind of on the fence right now. I'm not sure exactly what direction they're going to go, whether they're going to break up. But I think they obviously have a lot of things happening in NXT right now. And I think they're going to go back and focus on that.
Kyle Wolf, that is a very deep cut reference. But Kyle Wolf says, do you think Zilla Fatu would join Good Daughter to the Angel of the Bloodline? Yes. That's just, that's how it is. And Michael Mayo, No, he's French, right? Mayo. Says, so cool to see you both in person, but we're on a computer screen. I'm not sure what you mean by that. But hopefully someday we can see you.
Someone watching me? No.
Hey, you got fans. I don't. You let me know. Like, have you worked on your autograph yet? Do you have like a wrestler autograph?
I do have an autograph, yes.
Wow. I was joking. She's like, oh, I definitely do.
Fucking people ask me for my autograph shows.
Oh, yeah. Well, I go everywhere. I'm just inundated with autograph requests.
Did you? No, I'm not. But did you ever, like, when you were, I don't know. I was a girl. So, like, my crush, you know, you
probably. I was a girl? What do you mean, was?
Like, a girl in, like, middle school, you practice your little, like, I heart blah blah blah. Okay, maybe okay. It was only me. Okay. But you practice your thing. And so people ask me like for my 8x10s and I sign them, which they're on my big cartel shop, so if you want it.
Hold on. You dropped like two bombs. First of all, ain't nobody harassed me for 8x10. And second of all, big cartel dot what?
Big cartel, I don't know. It's a link. It's Emily May. It's a link on my Instagram. And Twitter.
So I have to go to your, I have to go to your Instagram, and your Instagram is what? At Emily May or
Emily May Heller, right there.
So So it's at Emily May Heller, and there's a link to buy 8x10 that you would sign with your professional signature.
Yes.
Am I just missing out on? What am I doing wrong in my life? No, I'm just. That's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. No, it's cool to see you. No, in all seriousness, it's cool to see you grow and fly out there and have like interactions with people. I saw you eat tacos with Thunder Rosa. It was pretty awesome. Jealous. Because I like tacos. Oh, I hate tacos, but I'm going to say I like tacos.
First of all, those tacos were legit.
I was so
surprised. I've had the one in LA and I was like, this competes.
Hot take. I don't like Mexican food. I don't like Mexican-American food. Actual Mexican food is great, but Mexican-American food, I'm not a fan. Oof. Can't do it. San Antonio, I'm sorry. San Diego, I'm sorry.
We have another disagreement.
I think most people will disagree with me. I just can't do it. And it's okay. If you're listening right now, there's probably a cuisine or a restaurant people rave about, like Raising Cane's or In-N-Out or Whataburger. You may not be your thing. It's totally fine to not like things. It's fine. It's fine. I like chimichangas. Those are cool. I'm canceled.
Face of disappointment. I know not everyone can see it because they're listening, but this is a face of disappointment that flows. Okay.
You're not the only one, man. I remember one time. I remember Leslie Colon from back in the day on Afterbuzz. Yeah. She's like, I don't believe it. She brought like her mom's tacos over to the house. Those tacos were legit, but that was very, very specific.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Shout out to Leslie, who's doing good things with LAFC. Leslie,
doing amazing.
12 and a fan, 3 of locals. Well, Taco Bell is not. Yo, shout out to Danny Cochran. I love
him. To be fair, when I moved to Texas, I got so mad because everyone was like, you need to try Tex-Mex. They're like, it's the best food. And someone from Southern California who had like the best tacos of her life, I was like, this is not good food.
See?
So I was very angry when I moved here because I was like, this is not good food. So I hear you on that. I fight for my food.
I hear you. You know, sometimes as being a kid from Brooklyn, I have the biggest cravings for like Jewish food. Like I'm like, yo, I want a knish, bro. And so you can only get in LA and New York. You can't be like in Indiana hanging out.
Yeah, Chicago actually has a really big Jewish population.
Fair enough, man.
Get some good stuff. But New York and LA, usually where you get some good deli.
You know who sells knishes? The New York Mets. I'm just putting it out there. You can get a knish at the game. Does the Dodgers do that?
You get Dodger dogs. Those are better.
That is not kosher. Are they kosher?
Yes.
I had no idea. I thought they were like processed pick knuckles. I swear to God. I had no idea.
Hold on. Dodgers dogs. Are they kosher? I'm pretty sure they are.
They changed manufacturers a couple years ago. They used to be Farmer John's. But
they might be kosher.
They might be kosher, ma'am.
We'll figure it out.
You can't be telling Jewish people it might be kosher. I think it's okay. Okay, we got to move on. 2 weeks from tomorrow is Crown Jewel coming to you live from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, as opposed to Jeddah. We still have the Crown Jewel Championships. As you know, both the women's champions and the men's champions will be having a match for whatever reason for the Crown Jewel Championship. I am not sure what it means to be a Crown Jewel champion. I'm not sure if it's kind of a thing, but Cody Rhodes is fighting for it. Invited Gunther out for next week at SmackDown. Question for you. Because as it is right now, it does seem much like these titles are fillers for the Saudi Arabian crowd. But if you were general manager, or if you were the guy with the pen or the gal with the pen, how would you make these titles legit, if at all possible?
Well, that's the thing. I feel like we're still trying to figure out. I mean, it's a huge title. Now they said it was 150 carats. I think before they said 50 carats. Now it's 150 carats. So it keeps going up. You saw the security guards lock it up, bring it out, showcase it. They have to, I mean, the way to do it is to have the top champions go after it. That's how you legitimize it. Okay. And you make it, there has to be some ultimatum. There you go. I was like, what's the word? Mm-hmm. Something to legitimize the reasoning and opportunity and cost of why they're doing this, right? So is it title for title? Is it, do they get a shot at something down the line if they become champion? Like if Cody wins it, he has both championships, but like, is he going to defend both? Is he going to bring the Crown Jewel championship somewhere else in other cities? Like what makes sense? Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out is like how you have the top people go after it, but what does it mean after they win?
Right. Well, that's what I'm asking you. If you had a chance to can it be done, or just is because we're jaded wrestling fans, we go, this is definitely because they're in Saudi Arabia.
I mean, I think they have to figure out why. I mean, I think we're all still trying to figure out why it's important, right? Are they just doing it in Saudi? I'm still figuring it out,
Flobo. No, I'm with you because, I mean, that Greatest Royal Rumble, which Braun Strowman won, he got a title for that, and we never saw that again. And I drag AEW for specifically the Owen Hart Classic, which I understand why you would have that, but why is the championship and the Continental Classic Okada holds? You go, well, your boy Eddie won a tournament. You beat him. That doesn't – why does that – whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I have no idea. If you guys know how to make that championship legit, and I understand it's kind of a loaded situation because you're going to Saudi Arabia. You may have your own feelings about Saudi Arabia, but you're making a championship between champion holders to make a super champion. What does that necessarily mean?
And I'm still trying to understand the women are still going to – the champions are going to face each other too.
Absolutely.
But there are two title belts. We have not – we've only seen one.
Yeah. I'm worried that what's it going to do is they're going to give it to what we consider the inferior championship. So I feel like Gunther's going to win it on Raw, and then whoever holds it on SmackDown. Who's the champion on SmackDown? I'm drunk a blank. Nia Jax is going to win on SmackDown. Yeah. Well, I don't know why I did that. I think it's going to be like, okay, I got two championships, and then that's it. 3 weeks go by, and that title just disappears. You know, like, maybe. Maybe.
I don't know. We're going to have to watch it, which I'm going to be tuning in, so...
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, like at 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. Central.
10 a.m. Yeah, that's like so easy.
All right, talk to me about your boy Kevin Owens, man. He's just has been running roughshod, cutting promos in his car. Like, what's up with him?
Kevin Owens attacking Cody, causing all this trouble. There, he's really kind of having a moment here on social media. His little media package here. Is he done? Like, what's I'm a little worried.
I mean, I don't think he's done. I think he's suspended. He has some unfinished business. But I say this because we had that match with him and Cody already. How is this going to be different? Because you know Cody needs someone to fight while this whole Bud Light thing is unfurling. So,
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just – Kevin Owens has a lot of unfinished business and a lot of frustration with not just Cody. But so we got to see who he's going to take it out on.
Yeah.
I think he's going to take some time to contemplate it. Obviously, the general managers need to figure out And Triple H needs to figure out how long he's taking off. What is his punishment? And hopefully he can, like, maybe the time off will help him mentally to kind of prepare for what he's going to do next, because he's not in it, he's obviously not in a good place right now.
I called Cody Rhodes the golden boy, which is kind of egregious.
Underhanded there.
Before we get to our final match of the evening, there was a instance backstage where Nick Aldis says Andrade and Carmelo, Game 7 is going to go down next week at Barclays Center in my hometown of Brooklyn, New York. But LA Knight is the special guest referee. And I got to say, as somebody who has a United States Championship, is this not a conflict of interest there, Emily?
I think it's a little conflict of interest. I think he's going to... You know, LA Knight has to be smart too about, has to be smart about how he handles this situation. I think he can put his history behind him to kind of be impartial, but he's going to have to be pay attention, because any of these two will go after him quick.
I think LA is going to go straight on. He's going to go straight on the Rock and be like, you know, dummy, I count nothing. I just imagine him just not even making a count at all. It'd be the best of seven that doesn't have an ending.
He's going to just yell, yeah, in their faces.
Yeah. One, two, yeah. Chill, everybody. So our last match of the evening was kind of a tag team affair. No, it was a tag team affair, but we had a bit of personnel change. Tiffy had a flu situation, and Nia Jax won the night off. Aldis said no, GM of the year. Slots her with Candice LeRae, the WWE Speed Champion, which is interesting because we just talked about championships not being defended. But Candice LeRae and Nia Jax are in a tag team match, and with the help of Indy Hartwell, Candice LeRae pins the former WWE Champion in Bayley, giving Nia Jax the win. Now, I am upset because I'm a Bayley fan, but this kind of breaks the women's rankings, because you have Nia Jax being a champion. You have Nia Jax taking on Liv Morgan in 2 weeks. You have Bayley, one of your rivals, taking a pin. You have Candice LeRae coming out of nowhere in the power rankings, pinning Bayley. And of course, you have Tiffy Time with the briefcase off camera. Emily May, walk me through the kerfuffle that is a women's world title picture.
So I was a little kind of thrown by this match. You know, we had Aldis, Nia worried about, you know, Tiffany had the sniffles. And again, Nick was like, no, you're going to have a match, but you have to have a partner. Set the Speed Championship up for a big moment, obviously. And what's interesting is once this was set, in the back of my head, I said, this is going, before we even got deep into the match, I was like, this is here to put over the Speed Championship. And I said that in the back of my head. And when I saw Candice, like, not necessarily get any of the offense in at the beginning of the match, and then finally she got stuff in, I was like, and I saw it all unfold. And I was like, in my head, right before it happened, I was like, she's going to pin Bayley. And she did it. So this was a moment for Candice to get over. And the juxtaposition of her next to Nia giving her the eye of, like, what did you just do?
Yeah.
And, like, that's just the size difference. And the fact that Candice got this win over Bayley was huge, a rival of Nia's. And this was really just a big moment for them to add legitimacy to the Speed Championship and to get it integrated onto a show, because we haven't really seen it highlighted that much. So I like it was started. It's starting to really build momentum.
I got to be honest with you, Emily. I had no idea who was the Speed Champion on either side. And they told me. I was like, oh, well, totally. Of course it's Candice LeRae. So maybe you're right. But I got to say, the show looks like it's going to be strictly on Twitter or X or what have you.
Yeah.
Will it be beneficial to have a championship where the rules are 3 minutes or less?
I mean, I think it you have to be smart about what you do in those 3 minutes. And, like, Nia kind of, like, was snarky about it to Nick Aldis or to Candice. Like, oh, well, you know, you got to lose or something in 3 minutes. What, I don't remember exactly what she said, but she was, like, being snarky about the 3-minute timing thing. So they're really leaning into that. And they're leaning into the fact that, okay, it's on Twitter, but how do we integrate it into programming? Because I think that's what they've had trouble with, like the like on NXT, the Heritage Cup and some of the other, like the 24/7 title previously. Like they've had trouble kind of bringing it into the fold. So now they're finding fun ways to highlight the champions, and I don't mind it. And because this was like not a high stakes match, like you have your Nia versus Liv in a few weeks, like that's what everyone's looking forward. So give Candace some wins.
I'll be honest with you. I hate it. I hate the Speed Championship.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
No, I'm just saying. Don't get so mad at me. No, look, I like Candace. I like Candace LeRae and all the opportunities you want to give people in the roster. But when it comes down to it, it's a fight. So like the idea of being like, oh yeah, there's a possibility that everyone who can go 25, 30, 45 minutes just get destroyed in a minute and a half. I go, wait a minute, how? That's why I hate Iron Man matches, because there are moves that never get pins, like SOSs and side effects that will knock someone out during an Iron Man match. Like, wait a minute, no. But I'm a grumpy old man. I understand that. But
just dance, you'll feel better.
I feel worse if I dance.
Dance.
Because no tiene ritmo. Emily May, this has been SmackDown for October 18th. I know the Dodgers are going to be having a good time this weekend. Will you?
Yes, I will. I'm working some amazing wrestling shows this weekend, watching the Dodger game. It's going to be a great weekend. And I know, Flobo, you and I will be chatting back and forth during those games.
Yeah, I made it a personal, like thing to be as positive as I can. But when I tell you, when we lost last night against the Dodgers, everyone was in my DMs like, bro, what happened to your boys, bro?
Aww. And today. I wouldn't harass you.
But today, quiet.
Quiet.
Just tumbleweeds.
Yeah. I know.
Crickets. Mets in seven. Emily May, if someone wanted to connect with your 8x10 service on Big Cartel, how to go about doing that?
Well, follow me on all social media, Emily May Heller on X.com, on Facebook, on Instagram, everywhere. I have all of my merchandise linked. I also have my cool Acknowledge May shirt. There you go. You can get my fun shirts, 8x10s. I got my trading cards. Everything is up there. I have my pro wrestling pets toys, cat toys, bandanas, all that fun stuff. So go check it out.
So 8x10 shirts. Like, what else you got?
That's it, really. Shirts, 8x10s.
That's what's up, man.
Trading cards with my face. I got a kiss card. So, like, I kiss the card, send it to you.
Ma'am.
Yeah.
do people buy, like, multiple?
People buy multiple things.
I'll have 10, please.
No, not 10. You know.
Craver.
Flobo, do you have merch?
I do. You can get some t-shirts from my podcast, New Amsterdam, also Draped in Gold, which is on hiatus, and personal stuff at flobito.threadless.com. That's Flobito, FLOBITO.threadless.com. Nothing as cool as Emily May's merch, but I do got some merch as well. Thanks, no. Thanks, Alicia.
Flobo, you're the best.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know what? I'm going to have a Kanish to celebrate because I got myself hungry just talking about that. And LA has a Kanish community. Oh, and when it's Hamantaschen season, best believe every March I'm in this.
You and I, we love Hamantaschen. Wait, what's your favorite Hamantaschen?
Okay. I like raspberry, but sometimes I feel like I have to get the traditional ones to, like, you know, be connected.
Okay, great. Poppy seeds. I'm either strawberry, poppy seed, or chocolate.
I get the poppy ones. Poppy ones are a nice little medium. Mm-hmm. The traditional ones, yeah. Put six in the box, all right? I'm afraid of Queen Esther. Put six in the box. It's fine. But let me know if Dodger Dogs are kosher. We're getting out of here. It's the Friday Night SmackDown After Show brought to you by 5-9 Whiskey. Shout out to those for sponsoring the show. Monday night, they got Jack Farmer and company for the Raw show. Remember, it's 2 hours. So as soon as Raw ends, the live stream goes on. Make sure you bother them in the chat. Emily May, final thoughts.
This was awesome. This was so much fun. We got SmackDown and baseball on the same night. Can't wait to talk more next week, Flobo.
Yeah, hit that M3 button now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Make fall cleanup quick and easy and save big money at Menards. From chainsaws, hedge trimmers, to blowers and more, Works Power Tools and Lawn Equipment have the power for you to get the job done faster and easier. Check out Menards' entire selection of Works Power Tools and Lawn Equipment. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save